disciples and says to you and I, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on earth the nation will be in dismay, perplexed by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will die of fright in anticipation of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of power and great glory. But when these signs begin to happen, stand erect and raise your hands, because your redemption is at hand. Beware that your hearts do not become drowsy from carousing and drunkenness and the anxieties of daily life, and that day catch you by surprise like a trap. For that day will assault everyone who lives on the face of the earth. Be vigilant at all times, and pray that you have the strength to escape the tribulations that are imminent, and to stand before the Son of Man. My brothers and sisters, the gospel.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Feels like sort of a threatening or pessimistic reading to start the church year with, doesn't it? And yet I think there's probably a great note of realism in it. I think our age, certainly with what we're facing now in the world, the immense income inequality, the refugees beyond number, the true evil of ISIS, we probably feel it again. It is falling apart. The world cannot be sustained at this level. America can't seem to produce enough guns. And of course, Jesus says, he who lives by the sword will die by the sword. And yet we don't learn from this wisdom. We keep up this constant attack of one another, hatred of one another, fear of one another. And you could read this gospel as almost encouraging you in that fear. But if so, you didn't listen carefully. He actually says twice in this Luke's version of the last days, to stand tall and to raise your heads. And then he says again at the end, stand before the Son of Man. He's telling us, I believe, not to give in to the fear that drives most political speeches. Because why do politicians talk that way? Because they know it works. Most people are motivated by fear. And all you have to do is appeal to fear, and half of the population will vote for you. Because it works. And it's only the Word of God that points us in an opposite direction, to stand tall, to raise your heads. In other words, to have dignity and hope in the middle of what is always falling apart. I'm sure if you'd read the papers in the early part of the last century, the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, everybody would have said, the world's falling apart. It always is. And it always will be. But the only thing that you can change is your attitude and your action toward it. You know, the word that we translate as faith in the New Testament is actually nothing to do with thinking or believing. It has to do with doing. It's an active verb. To have faith is to act differently in the world. To behave in an opposite way than everybody behaves. Not to operate in the way of fear. So, I think the body, if I can approach it this way, your spirit, your soul, your body knows when you're operating out of dignity and beneath your dignity. When you consistently operate beneath your own capacity, and your capacity is love, you're children of God. When you operate with that outflowing energy that cares, that tries to make a little bit of difference, and you can feel the difference when your energy is flowing outward and when it's sucking inward. When it's sucking inward, you're dying. when it's all about protecting yourself, more comfort, more security, more status, more prestige, sometimes you think that's all America knows, is how to make things a little more convenient. Is that the best we can do at the end of our life to say we had a convenient life? You need to act according to your dignity. When you refuse to be gossipy, sarcastic, to join into the put-downs of poor people or handicapped people or homeless people or gay people, you're acting according to your dignity. I will not descend to that level. Your body knows that. Your soul knows that. And each time you operate with dignity, you increase actually your inner self-confidence. You know that there's power to draw upon from the inside. Each time you give away your dignity, you are not standing tall and raising your head. You were meant for love. You are created to act, to operate as the dignified children of God. Brothers and sisters, this takes work today, because that's not what you see on television. Most of it is people operating beneath their human capacity, beneath their human dignity. And our poor kids grow up seeing that garbage hour after hour after hour. In fact, probably, and I watch TV too, but if you've spent these 4 days of holiday lounging in front of American TV, you're not operating according to your dignity. You're capable of so much more, of giving back to this world, doing your little piece. I was happy to see on the national news, maybe some of you saw it last night, that Albuquerque was highlighted for our program of taking homeless people and paying them for working on the streets. They said we're the only city in the country that's doing this. I couldn't believe it. And I checked it online. It's true. Right here in our little old city, we're doing something right. At least we're trying. They're afraid the money's going to run out and it won't last. But instead of condemning homeless people, someone in our city had the courage to say, how about giving them a job? And maybe you saw this wonderful black man driving around, picking up homeless people, saying, do you want to work for 5 or 6 hours? We'll pay you $9 an hour. How hopeful. See, that's faith in action. That's not just going to church services, which, let's be honest, you being here, I'm happy you're here, and I hope you're happy I'm here, but it doesn't make a bit of difference for the world because you attend church, really. Jesus never talked about attending a service on Sunday morning. This is just the pep rally to get you to do something different out there, right? To operate different on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and to start this new church year in a new way. So thank you for having the humility to try again, to begin again. And that's what new years are all about.